You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
So tonight, the Lakers begin their march to an NBA championship first-round matchup against the Portland Trailblazers. Pre-game is at 4, right after our show. Tip-off is at 6 p.m. John, how you feeling?
Excellent.
Yeah.
Very excited about getting the playoffs going. The first upset is about to go down.
Yeah.
Orlando is 3 minutes away from knocking off Milwaukee.
How about that?
And you know, Milwaukee's the number one seed in the East, but I love the Lakers' chances. I love the way the Lakers are structured. And how soon, my question is, Mace, how soon can I talk about the outrage that was Clippers Mavericks last night?
Before we do that, because it is an outrage and it deserves a real discussion. Somebody texted me last night and said, "Hey, are you guys giving away a car?"
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I don't think we pushed this hard enough yesterday, so we got to make it clear to everybody while they get into a groove. So we're giving away a brand new 2021 Mazda CX-30 from my friend John Patterson at Tustin Mazda, Huntington Beach Mazda, where it's all about you. Pay attention to everything we say every day this week. There will be one question from yesterday, one from today, all the way to Friday. If you have all five answers Friday at 3:15, you win a $100 gas card and a key that may start that brand new 2021 Mazda CX-30. And John, yesterday we did a very bad job of pointing this out, so I'd like to give people a gimme for yesterday. What do you think?
Sure. I want somebody to win a car, so I'm all for gimmies.
Okay, so let's just say the question from yesterday's show is, who won Game of Games? And the answer is me. So you've already got one answer on your way to Friday at 3:15 when we do the quiz. Good luck. Pay attention to everything.
All right. Now can I talk about the outrage?
Yes, let's do it.
All right. So the playoffs have started. The Lakers start tonight, as we've been talking about. Milwaukee is about to get upset.
Yep.
By Orlando in the bubble. So last night, really good game, actually, between the Clippers and Dallas Mavericks. The Clippers jump out to an 18-2 lead. And then the Clippers fall apart.
Yeah.
And the Mavs go on like a 48-10 run, some obscene run. They go up by 14. At halftime, it's tight. At halftime, the Mavericks are up, I think, by like 4 or 6, whatever.
And we should point out, in the first half, Kristaps Porzingis got a technical after a clean block at the rim. He was called for a foul. He showed some emotion, and he got teed up. I thought that was a BS technical foul.
I've said it a million times. The best referees in any sport are the ones who manage the game, not the ones who call everything by the book, not the ones who don't allow for any discussion or anything. The good referees manage the game. Anybody will tell you that.
But in that case, John, it's not even so much that, the call was just wrong. It was flat out wrong.
Correct. That's what I'm pointing out.
And why is that not a reviewable play? Why can't you go back and look at that?
Well, you could, but the official that called the technical is not going to reverse himself.
You're right. You're right.
So, all right, but it was just a dumb call. So, all of a sudden, Kristaps Porzingis has a ticky-tack technical. Now, again, all he did was punch the air.
Yes.
Like, he threw out a punch, like, no, that's not a foul.
Yep.
And they gave him a technical. Again, I'll say it again. Unless a player puts his hands on me or another player,
yep,
physically puts his hands on someone, I'm not giving him a technical. He can tell me and my mother to F off, and I'm not giving him a technical. Nobody is there to see the referees. So, third quarter rolls around. Luka Doncic, who's killing the Clippers.
Oh, he was unbelievable in that game.
Finished with 42 points. Goes down the middle, and Marcus Morris, we have his brother Markieff on our team,
yep,
does what Marcus and Markieff do. They're tough guys.
They muck it up a little bit.
Yeah, they're tough guys. So Luka comes down the middle, and Marcus wraps him up, kind of tackles him. And Porzingis goes over and confronts Marcus and says, "Hey, get your hands off my guy." Marcus does. There was no punches.
No.
There was no assault by
either. In fact, I would argue,
player.
By the way, John, that Marcus put his hands on Porzingis.
Here's the point, Mace. It's a classic no call, especially in a playoff game. That's what Marcus Morris does. He's a tough guy. Kristaps Porzingis already had a technical. Nobody in their right mind should give a second technical to Porzingis there. Like LeBron tweeted right after it happened, it was completely bogus.
Yeah.
Like Jeff Van Gundy said, there's no way in a playoff game you even consider giving him a technical. So now Porzingis is out. The Mavericks.
And by the way, they had a lead at that point. They were up five when that went down.
So the Mavericks, who are playing really well and have a great chance to steal game one, are completely kneecapped by the referees.
Yeah.
And it just, the NBA has done so many things right. The bubble has been an example of how you navigate COVID in sports in the modern world. They've been great. For the officials to do this, and I know a lot of these guys, so I normally don't complain about officials. This was unconscionable.
I always complain about the officials. I just think it's all random and arbitrary.
Well, this was ridiculous.
Yeah.
It can't happen anymore. I hope they grabbed Kane Fitzgerald and the other officials afterwards, and they said, guys, look, this is the playoffs. We're not going to affect the playoffs by giving a guy two questionable technicals.
And, John, that could have been the game.
Could have been
series. That could have been the game. You're right. It could have been the series.
Yeah.
I don't
know if the Clippers wouldn't have won anyway. The Clippers are probably a better team. And let me comment.
Clippers are a better team.
Let me comment the Clippers about something. After the game, both Doc Rivers and Marcus Morris said that Porzingis shouldn't have been thrown out. They said, look, I wish they would have left him in. That wasn't deserving of that. And I think we have, Jorge, I think we have Doncic, who they could not check. I think we have Doncic after the game talking about the Porzingis ejection. Here's Doncic.
I knew, like, KP had my back, you know. He did it for me, you know. He did it for his teammate, you know. He had my back. And not just me, you know, the whole team appreciate that. I don't think it was fair to get him out of the game, especially in the playoffs. But, you know, they decided, so we had to play without him, which is tough.
Yeah, and here is Kristaps Porzingis on the technical fouls and the ejection.
I understand. We got into it a little bit, and I saw him getting into Luka's face, and I didn't like that. That's why I reacted. That's a smart thing to do from their part. I just got to be smarter and control my emotions next time, especially on the first one. I understand the second one, but the first one, even though I felt like it was a clean block, they're probably going to call that tech for throwing a hand every time. So I just got to be smart and not let my emotions get the better of me.
Right, should so you really get a tech for throwing your hand?
No. And again, if you don't make contact with somebody, forget it. Here's Rick Carlisle. Rick Carlisle won a title as a player in the NBA. He's won a title as a coach with the Mavericks. Here's Rick Carlisle after the game.
Actually, we don't have Rick Carlisle.
Huh.
We thought we did.
Our sheet is not accurate.
Yeah, no. We thought we had Rick Carlisle, but we didn't get him. But I think the bottom line here is that the last people you want to settle a playoff game are officials. And even, for example, John, if you have that awareness as an official that Kristaps Porzingis, who is the second most important player for the Dallas Mavericks, has a technical, that has to be in your head when you see that little baby scrum in the second half or in the third quarter. You've got to recognize that if I tee him up again, he's gone, and I'm tilting the balance of this game and potentially the series.
Yeah, it's unconscionable. And for people saying Porzingis should have known better, blah, 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 it's the playoffs. I've been saying for 2 days, emotions are going to run high. When the Lakers and the Blazers take the court tonight, emotions are going to run high. You can't be slapping a technical foul on everybody that reacts. And they did it twice to Porzingis, and took away a chance the Mavericks had to win the game. I mean, it was really, really bad.
One more time. Now we do have Rick Carlisle after the game last night.
The thing that happened with KP, just unfortunate. You know, we just learned from it, and we got to understand this is part of the emotions of the playoffs. He's protecting his teammate on the second technical, you know, which is, you know, the right thing to do in the playoffs. But you know, the first one where it was an air punch, that's automatic. You know, they call one on him, they call one on George. So, you know, we'll avoid that in game two, and we'll go from there.
Boy, when they go low, they go high, huh? They're taking the high road on everything.
To,
yeah.
Because if they come out and said what you and I just said, the refs may pick on them for the rest of the series.
Yeah. Plus, there'd be a fine involved. You're not allowed to complain about the officiating. So.
Yeah, but last night was bad. That should not happen. Matter of
it
fact,
it was terrible.
That's one of the things we will run by Stephen A. Smith. Who's scheduled to join us next.
And coming up, is Stephen A. next?
Well.
Sure is.
He is. Okay, good.
The sheet. But the sheet was wrong about Rick Carlisle, so I'm just assuming that Stephen A. is next.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, coming up next for you, Stephen A. We'll get a preview of tonight's Game 1, Lakers versus Blazers. Get his thoughts on what went down with Kristaps Porzingis last night and the Mavericks-Clippers game. And generally, the way the bubble is working, all of it, with Stephen A. Smith next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. What is going on? It is the day, people. Day one of the playoffs for the Los Angeles Lakers. They take on the Portland Trail Blazers tonight. Pregame starts right after us at 4 o'clock. 6 o'clock is the opening tip, and we are expecting momentarily Stephen A. Smith to join us. John?
He's there.
He is here. Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. Stephen A., how are you, man?
What's up, guys? How y'all doing?
Oh, we're great, Stephen, and we appreciate you coming on, man. Let me start with what we were just talking about. That thing last night with the Mavericks and the Clippers really bugged me. I mean, the NBA's done such a great job in the bubble of making this happen and putting it all together. I mean, you can't knock them for anything. And then last night, they called two what I thought were very iffy technicals and throw Porzingis out. What was your take on how that went down between Dallas and L.A. last night?
Well, I was disgusted. The second technical you can somewhat understand, because obviously if they get into a little tussle, you're going to get teed up for that, even though I thought that was ticky-tack as well. But that first technical they gave Porzingis, I definitely thought was ticky-tack. And I think that, you know, what special circumstances require that special treatment takes place, usually that's reserved for stars. In this particular situation, it's significantly different. There's a pandemic going on, and this tremendous sacrifice that the players are putting forth by being in the bubble to begin with. To have them in the bubble, to know what you're asking of them to do, to prioritizing the importance of finishing an NBA season, and then to turn around and eject a star in the league over something so ticky-tack, is utterly ridiculous. I thought it was a disservice to everybody watching the game, and it was a disservice to Porzingis himself and to the Dallas Mavericks as well. I thought it was completely uncalled for.
Stephen A., I've heard you on First Take, saw you on First Take talking about the Portland Trail Blazers and the fact that the Lakers should not take them lightly. How do you see this series playing out?
Well, I think this Portland will lose the series, but I think it could go seven games. And the reason I think it could go seven games is because they can score on anybody. They can put up points. And it's not just because of Dame Dollar and CJ. We've seen Melo hit some big shots. Nurkic is back healthy, and he's an offensive force. He can make some things happen offensively. And then last but not least, Gary Trent has been hitting a lot of shots from the perimeter as well. He really launches. And so the combination of them having the slew of perimeter shooters that they have. I don't like their shot selection. I don't like the fact that Terry Stott seems so limited in the adjustments that he's willing to make and just ride in a gravy train that is Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum the way that he does. But nevertheless, they do have a lot of offensive firepower, and the Lakers haven't been hitting perimeter shots that well. And I think that, you know, four games, I can't see this team that plays virtually no defense beating LeBron and Anthony Davis in a best of seven. But can I see them winning 2 to 3 games? Yes.
Stephen A. Smith with us. Steve, I've had a man crush on Damian Lillard ever since I did a preseason game his rookie year. I just think the guy gets it. As a matter of fact, I would go as far as to say that if there was a draft, I would take him ahead of Harden, and I think I would take him ahead of Steph. Am I overrating Damian Lillard?
You're overrating him if you think you would take him before Steph Curry. I think that's going a bit too far. I'm not taking that. I don't give a damn who can shoot the ball. I ain't taking anybody over Steph Curry.
Okay.
Not with his ability to handle the ball, to shoot the ball, and more importantly, to get off his shot from any angle on the floor, off the dribble, the way that he does.
What about durability?
Steph Curry.
What about durability, though?
That's the only argument you can have against him.
Yeah.
That's the only argument that you can have against him, durability. But in terms of shooting the basketball from a point guard slot or shooting the basketball from any slot, I consider Steph Curry to be the greatest shooter in the history of basketball.
I agree with you.
And I'm not, I wouldn't put anybody ahead of him.
Stephen A. Smith is with us, Mason, in Ireland, 710 ESPN. So Anthony Davis is playing high-leverage games in the playoffs and will be playing high-leverage games as we get deeper into the playoffs. How much of the Lakers' success is on AD, and what kind of pressure do you think he's feeling right now?
He's going to have to show up, and I do think he's under some pressure because when you're the former number one overall pick, when you're considered a top five player on the planet, but you've never played in a conference finals, let alone an NBA finals, then something at some point in time is going to be incumbent upon you to step up and handle your business the way people anticipate you can. So that's number one. Number two, and just as important, it's not about him scoring. Anthony Davis can average 30 and 15 in his sleep. The question is, how are you going to do it? Shooting 15 to 17 foot jump shots or stepping beyond the 3-point line is not going to wear any opponents down. Particularly a team as deep as the Los Angeles Clippers with Harrell, with Morris, one of the Morris twins and others. You've got to be a man amongst boys in that low post area. You've got to attack viciously and you got to get these guys in some foul trouble. That is what you need to do if you're Anthony Davis and you really, really want to help LeBron James. Not to mention the fact that you might want to contribute to slowing the pace, get to the free throw line, you know, stops play a little bit, gives a guy a chance to take a deep breath, get his rest, get his you know, his wind under him, et cetera, et cetera. That's important with Avery Bradley being gone, with Rondo coming back from a broken thumb, with suspect guard play from Waiters, from J.R. Smith, from Alex Caruso, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. You know this better than me, John. And so the bottom line is that if you're Anthony Davis and you're that man amongst boys, you're not only buffering your offense, but you're providing some relief conditioning-wise to a guy like LeBron James, who's in his 17th season and an ultra-physical specimen, no doubt, but somebody who's desperately going to need your help in this series.
Stephen A. Smith with us. Steve, if you were Frank Vogel, how would you guard Lillard? Would you try and trap him and take the ball out of his hands? Do you do what Denver did yesterday to Donovan Mitchell? You just let Dame go off and try and lock up everybody else? What would your defensive strategy be if you were Vogel?
I would go one-on-one and let Dame eat me up if that's the case, because if he doesn't get others involved, particularly those first three quarters, they'll be too cold to do anything come fourth quarter time because they're a rhythm team. When everybody's getting involved and everybody's got the freedom to launch one shot after another, then obviously they're far more difficult to deal with. But if they're standing around and playing the role of spectator, we've seen Portland fade, particularly in fourth quarters under those conditions, and that's what I think I would employ.
Stephen A., this is sort of a classic rest versus rust situation. We talked to Frank Vogel yesterday, and he talked about how they were using those seeding games as just tune-ups, and we should not read that much into it. But meanwhile, Portland has been basically in the playoffs the entire time they've been in the bubble to get to this spot. Who's got the advantage, the team that got some rest or the team that played through the tape?
I'd say the team that got some rest, because we've watched Portland, particularly against Memphis. They looked exhausted, and they looked exhausted against Brooklyn, too. And the fact that those games were so hard, it's one thing to play those games. It's another thing for those games to come down to the wire where it absolutely drains you and you're in desperate need to win Saturday so you don't have a game Sunday and you only have 2 days rest instead of 3 days rest. I think that's imperative, and I think they know that. So I would say the advantage is to the Lakers at that in this particular sequence.
All right, Stephen A. Smith with us. Steve, last thing for me. If you're right, and Mason and I are both with you, we think the Lakers are going to take care of Portland. Who is their second-round opponent, Oklahoma City or Houston? And remember, no Westbrook for Houston. I'm not sure who wins that series.
I think Oklahoma City wins the series against Houston unless Westbrook comes back. Without Westbrook, I believe they'll beat Houston because they have Chris Paul, who's incredibly familiar with what Mike D'Antoni wants to do and what James Harden will do, and the effect that it can have on the rest of the cast around him. They're a different team, obviously, with Russell Westbrook. He's athletic as hell. He pushes the pace. He's good for 27 a night, albeit porous from three-point range. But he gets open. He gets open shooters or gets shooters open to launch those shots because of how aggressive he is in attacking the basket. They're a different team with Russell Westbrook. Without that, they're basically the same team you've been looking at with James Harden, but minus Chris Paul and Russell Westbrook, and that's not going to beat this Oklahoma City team in my estimation.
All right. Hey, listen, Stephen A., we appreciate whenever you make time for us. Know your demands are high, but thank you very much for coming on, and hopefully we can do this again soon.
No problem, guys. Anytime. Take care.
All right. There's Stephen A. Smith joining us. So we talked a little bit about how the Lakers will handle or could handle Damian Lillard. Damian Lillard talked about how the Blazers plan to handle LeBron. I'm going to use air quotes on handle LeBron. We got that coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
That's right, and giving away a brand new 2021 Mazda CX-30 from John Patterson, Tusta Mazda, Huntington Beach Mazda. Pay attention to everything we say today. There will be a question from yesterday, one from today, and all the way to Friday. If you've got all five answers Friday at 3:15, you win a $100 gas card and a key that may start the brand new 2021 Mazda CX-30. By the way, when it's all done, there will be only four keys. So if you win a key on Friday, you've got a 25% chance of winning that brand new 2021 Mazda CX-30. So good luck. Pay attention to everything. All right. So we talked a little bit about how, by the way, how do you think the Lakers should handle? Stephen A. said just single him. The question is, do you trap him? What do you do with Damian Lillard tonight, John?
I treat him like a football, like a quarterback. I change the defensive look every once in a while on him. Mm-hmm. So one time I would guard him one-on-one. Another time I would send a trap at him. Sometimes I would switch on the pick and roll. Other times I would not switch. I think you need to keep him guessing. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't marry myself to one particular defense. I think I would try a lot of different things. He's a great player. He's going to score. I just think the Lakers are going to score more as a team. So my guess is that's what you're going to see. You're going to see different defenses thrown at Lillard. I know everything the Lakers tried in the Kobe Memorial game didn't work.
Yeah.
That's the game.
But, I mean, you can almost throw that game out. It was so emotional.
Maybe. I mean, he averaged 36 a game over the three games.
Yeah, and he averaged 51 per game in the final three seeding games this year. So he's red hot. By the way, Anthony Davis, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, likely to get doubled, but Zach Collins is now out. When Anthony Davis in the 2017-2018 regular season, which was his last full season, was guarded by Nurkic, he was 11 of 13. 3 for 3 from the free throw line for 25 points. 11 of 13 versus Nurkic. 2017-2018, Anthony Davis, when guarded by Hassan Whiteside, who's probably now going to be that second big body, Anthony Davis, 7 of 12, 3 of 3 from the line, 17 points. So combined, neither of those guys had a chance at stopping Anthony Davis, which I think bodes well for him having a really big night tonight.
AD was almost unstoppable when the Blazers lost to the Pelicans in the playoffs in 2018. The Pelicans swept them, and in that series, Anthony Davis averaged 33 points, 14 rebounds, and 3 blocks a game. So I think you're going to get a heavy dose of Davis tonight. But tonight's only one game.
Sure.
If the Lakers win it, it's only one game. If they get upset, like the Bucks got upset today. I still think Milwaukee beats Orlando.
Of course, yeah.
So it's only one game, but I can't wait for it to happen.
Really, yeah, me too. Me too. Here's Damian Lillard on how he plans to handle LeBron James.
You're not going to stop LeBron James from being LeBron James. You just can't let him be the best version of himself. You got to try to limit as much as you can, and that'll increase your chance to win a game. But as far as our preparation, you know, we, like you said, we coming into it with a healthy level of respect. We're not coming into it like we can't get the job done. We're looking at it like we know what we're up against. And we're coming into it feeling like it's a one game at a time, but we can get it done. And there's really no other way to come into it. If we were going to come into it any other way, then we should have just came here and bowed out gracefully before we even got to this point. But that's not what we showed up for.
Yeah, they played hard and they got here and they made it to the playoffs, and now they draw the number one seed in the West, the Lakers. By the way, in terms of LeBron, the likely defensive covers are Skinny Melo and Gary Trent Jr.
Right, and I think they may even put Wenyen Gabriel on him a little bit, who's 6'9", as a rookie, just because if not, and who was it that was on with us yesterday that said they're just going to try and foul Melo out? If they leave Melo on him, LeBron will just take him right to the rim and try and foul him out. So I think they're going to put
He's Skinny Melo, John. Give him credit. I'm Fat Mace right now because of the quarantine. He's Skinny Melo. He lost a lot of weight.
Right, but that's a bad thing in this case.
It is.
LeBron's 270 pounds.
Against LeBron, I know.
And has no fat.
I know. Hey, just take a break here a second. Did you watch Hard Knocks?
Yeah.
Okay. So, first of all, it's all weird, right? It's gonna be on again tonight.
I thought they did a really good job.
They did a good, but it's almost like a COVID infomercial. How to deal with COVID? I mean, it really is. It really is a gigantic, the most important issue they're dealing with. But I think Sean McVay laid down a rule that should really be followed by everybody, and that means everybody that goes to ball games. Like when I go to the Rams games,
I think you should take this outside of sports. There should be a rule in life.
Yeah, this should be a rule in life. Here is Sean McVay on porta potties.
Hey, and also, don't be the guy that takes a on the porta potties. All right, I went in there, I about threw up. All right, have a little bit more social awareness. That's to take a don't take a in the porta potties. All right,
somebody. In the porta potty.
We got to start putting the camera on the porta potty and see who's in there.
Somebody a part of the Hard Knocks crew is in the porta potty.
By the way, while you were gone, because you were out last week, I asked Ramona this question. Sean McVay, in that first episode of Hard Knocks, cusses up a storm.
He really does. Yeah.
I mean, he cusses more than you, and that's saying something.
That is.
I asked Ramona, do you think that'll make it more popular or less popular with Ram fans? That every other word out of him is either the F word or S or, you know, he cusses more than almost anybody I've ever heard.
But more popular. I want that angry intensity. I trust people who swear. I think they really feel it.
Yeah, not only does he, I think it'll make it more popular. This is hard to describe, but he cusses in the guise of positivity.
And so correct.
It's like this. I effing love football and effing love you guys. Or he'll say to Jared Goff, I'm going to give you a whole bunch of new blank to put in, then you're going to effing love it.
Yep.
You know, so even though he's swearing, he's cussing up a storm.
He's doing it in a positive way.
It is. It's all upbeat. It's kind of fun to watch. I bet you now, though, that he's seen the first episode.
He's going to dial it back?
Yeah, probably, because he's pretty self-aware.
By the way, what's the delay between when they shoot and when it goes on the air? That seemed like it was pretty close.
They've been shooting this whole time. So they could – something that happened – and they edit on the day of the show. So they edit today.
And they already had the Jalen Ramsey walking out of the Zoomer. That was in –
that was last week.
That was in the last week one, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Lindsay Theory was in that part of it.
I nod off every time they cut to the Chargers. I'm like, oh, sure.
Although I will say this. Man, Anthony Lynn, the Chargers coach, is a great guy.
You know what? Even I have to say he comes off really, really well.
Well,
in the
I don't
show.
Know. You know, we always, whenever you leave, is when I bring Charger people on because I'm
yes.
afraid you'll insult them. And my friend Josh, who runs the Chargers, doesn't trust you. But so he gave.
Is that true? He really doesn't trust me.
Oh yeah. Well, and gee, can you blame him? You hate the Chargers.
I hate the Chargers, right, but that doesn't mean I can't do an interview with him.
Yeah. Well, in his
I interviewed
mind,
Chip Kelly.
In his mind, it does.
Jim Mora.
How'd that go? We had Anthony Lynn on.
Yes.
And he, do you know this story about Anthony Lynn almost getting killed, being hit by a car in Oxnard when he was an assistant for the Cowboys?
No.
So he's walking across the street with Sean Payton at night to go get some food. Sean Payton and Anthony Lynn are assistants to Bill Parcells. Okay.
Yep.
A car is coming down the highway, and the guy didn't have his lights on, and he hit Anthony Lynn going like 35 miles an hour.
Oh, man.
And Anthony Lynn's face was shattered, his entire face. And the first responders, the paramedics, were so good that they, like the way he told it, put him back together like Humpty Dumpty. And that, and he, they put him in the hospital. He had tons of plastic surgery.
Wow.
And he survived. Sean Payton was the one who called the ambulance.
Yep.
He survived. And he, to this day, will tell you that if it wasn't for those first responders, those first initial fire and paramedic guys, that he'd be dead. And it all, because those guys were so good at their job. And I find that, so he's got this like unique outlook on life that he's lucky to be here. And it just comes across in the way that dude coaches. He's impossible not to root for. So I'm pulling for Anthony Lynn. I think he's a great dude.
Yeah. No, he seems like a really good guy. I still nod off when they go to the Charger part of that story.
Which is why when I'm still a little you bit go pissed away, off we'll that, have a Charger guy on.
I'm still a little pissed off that we're sharing time with the Chargers on that show.
Well,
all right, coming up next for you. Oh, everybody, oh, the world is up in arms over Fernando Tatis Jr.
Well, this is an outrage. I can't wait to get to this story.
He took a 3-0 pitch yard when the Padres had a 6-run lead, and all hell has broken loose. We will get to that coming up next for you. It's Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, 710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. What is going on? Last night, we should mention, we've not mentioned yet today, that the Dodgers are incredibly hot at this moment. They have now won 6 in a row. They came from behind last night to beat Seattle 11-9 at Dodger Stadium. They rallied for 5 in the 7th, including a Kike home run. After a terrible start from Ross Stripling, didn't pitch well. Bullpen through 6 innings of 1-run ball. Kenley Jansen now 7-for-7 in save opportunities. And John, Mookie Betts was 2-for-9 with his 9th home run. He is 3rd in baseball now in home runs, trailing only Fernando Tatis Jr., who's got 11, Mike Trout, who's got 10. Mookie has 9. He's got a 10.55 OPS, and the Dodgers have got the best record in the National League. Home to Seattle again tonight. Tony Gonsolin on the mound for the Dodgers. So we mentioned Fernando Tatis Jr. That is one of the big stories today. Last night hit a very controversial Grand Slam home run.
Runners lead at all three bases, and the pitch to Tatis is swung on and hit out to deep right field. It is up and out, a grand slam for Fernando Tatis Jr. He leaves Mike Trout behind with his 11th home run of this season, his 2nd of the night. And in the last 40 minutes or so, he has hit 2 home runs and driven in 7. The Padres have made it a blowout, 14-3 in Arlington.
And after the game, the unwritten rules of baseball are officially taking a meeting. taking a beating. It was Tatis who, on a take sign on 3-0, went yard. And at that point, the Padres had a 6-0 lead. Now, people are saying bad form, unwritten rules. You don't swing at a 3-0 when you've got a big lead. As far as I'm concerned, Fernando Tatis Jr. is one of the most exciting players in the game, and we should allow him to be as exciting as possible. And that includes, look, if you don't want him to hit a grand slam, don't throw a ball down Main Street.
Was the pitcher not trying to strike him out?
Well, it's 3-0.
Yeah, but isn't the pitcher trying to get him out?
Oh, sure. Yeah, pitcher's trying to get him out. Absolutely. Through a 3-0 pitch.
This is the dumbest. These unwritten rules of baseball drive me crazy. Then that chicken bleep Chris Woodward, who used to be the Dodgers hitting coach, throws at the next hitter. Because Tatis hit a grand slam, he throws at Manny Machado. Okay.
Before we do that, do we know it was Chris Woodward who called the code red, or was it just that next Rangers pitcher who was ultimately ejected from the game? I don't think we know. Gabeau is the guy who received a 3-game suspension for throwing at Manny Machado.
All right, so here's our buddy Jim Bowden. He was on CBS Sportsline, and Bowden on TV commenting on this, and I could not agree more with Bowden. Here's Jim.
Chris, first of all, it's 2020. There are no unwritten rules. If it's not written, it's not a rule. He's supposed to swing 3-0. He's supposed to hit a home run if he can. And I am sick and tired of baseball and fans talking about the unwritten rules and you can't do it here and you can't do it there. Look, we are attracting more young people to baseball than ever before. You want to know why? For players like Fernando Tatis, who show flash and smile and show us bat flips. That's what the young people want. It's exciting. It's 2020. This is what I think should happen, Chris. I think Commissioner Manfred should suspend Chris Woodward, the manager of the Rangers, for one game for telling his pitcher to throw behind Fernando Tatis Jr. in the next at bat. I think he should fine Jace Tingler, the manager of the San Diego Padres, for agreeing with Woodward that he shouldn't be swinging 3-0. And I think Fernando Tatis Jr. should apologize for apologizing when he had no reason to apologize.
Yeah.
I could not agree more. But, and by the way, you heard him mention that Jace Tingler, the manager of the Padres. Now, this is Tatis's manager.
Correct, correct.
Listen to what he said after the game. This idiot. Play that.
You know, it probably starts with just, you know, picking up the sign. I think like the learning opportunity. And just so you know, a lot of our guys have green light, you know, 3-0. But, you know, in this game in particular, you know, we had a little bit of a comfortable lead. And, you know, we're not trying to, you know, run up the score or anything like that. And so, you know, put on the take sign and you know, probably see a strike right there.
What is he talking about? Mason, you were at that game in Houston, that World Series game that finished 13-12. You're not – there is no
You don't stop scoring.
God,
a six-run lead isn't safe. You keep scoring.
What in the world are these morons talking about?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think what we're watching, John – is because if you search around Twitter and search around every column in the world right now that's written about this, you see the continued death of the unwritten rules. The unwritten rules are slowly dying, and for good reason. I mean, I think Jim Bowden makes the best point there, which is you have got a charismatic, unbelievably talented Fernando Tatis Jr. on that Padres team. He is one of the, I'd say, three most exciting players in the game right now. He's got personality. He's got flash. He's fun to watch. He's unbelievably gifted. I mean, all that stuff. I mean, to me, you want those guys to be able to thrive. You want those guys to be able to shine. You want those guys to attract that younger audience that baseball so desperately needs. So don't try to put a stop to Fernando Tatis Jr. just doing what he does and having fun doing it.
I don't understand it. And by the way, I'm going to throw down a mythical money bet here. And you made me think of it when you were talking about Mookie Betts.
Yes.
Okay. Mookie is plus 750 to win the National League MVP.
Right now?
Right now. I'm going to bet $6,000 on him to win the National League MVP. Ooh. Mythical money. That means if he wins it, I get 45 grand plus my original six back. So, but my biggest worry is Tatis. Tatis could beat him. But since I think the Dodgers are going to win the division and he's going to lead them there, I'm going to roll the dice. 6K on bets to win MVP. I win 45 grand plus I get my original six back if I hit it. Obviously, if I don't, I lose the six. So there you go.
Okay, there you have it.
I got
a
that
big
from
bet
Eric,
on bets.
Yeah, I got that from Eric Schumann, who offers me bets all the time, one of our listeners. So, Eric, I think it's a great idea. He wanted me to bet more. He wanted me to bet 12,000.
By the way,
I'm scared of Tatis.
So I'm watching the Dodgers game last night. And by the way, I'm getting so frustrated because in our fantasy, the fantasy league that I'm in with Ramona,
I
bet the ranch on Cody Bellinger. I bet the ranch on him.
Really,
I spent
struggling.
$51. He has been inexplicably bad and shows no signs of getting out of
him
it.
Him and Jose Altuve both.
Yeah, Altuve is the exact same story. I mean, I think if you look at the short list for MVP, Betts is there. Fernando Tatis Jr. is there. And, you know, Juan Soto has all of a sudden come on really, really fast after missing some games. Because I think he hit home runs in five straight games. So he's coming on strong, too. And Ronald Acuna Jr. is another guy. But, yeah, I like your odds. I like your odds. I know who it's not going to be. The guy I bet the ranch on, Cody Bellinger. It's not going to be him.
Not so far.
No, not so far.
And I would say plenty of time left, but we're in a pandemic, so there really isn't.
We're basically at a third of the season for all intents and purposes. It's going very fast. All right, coming up next for you, the scoop, all the stuff we haven't talked about yet. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.